Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the NCWCC Digital Online Broadcast Network. I am your host, co-host for the day, my host for the interview for what we're going to be talking about is the Centers for Hope, the hope of a new mayor of Atlanta to become a Center for Hope centers throughout the metro Atlanta area where there's been a wonderful corporate social responsibility movement by kids and pros, as well as the Atlanta Silverbacks, and as well as Starbucks, which is my favorite place in the world to be at all times. This particular project shows a difference in how the City of Atlanta has pulled in resources and combined its ability to work with public and private sectors to build a center for hope when the centers were closed during the Mayor Shirley Franklin's era. And when she was a mayor, she had to, from my understanding, just balance the budget. And in that budget move, it closed about 27 centers across the city of Atlanta. And some of those centers were in some of the most impoverished areas. And all through the years, those centers have been centers for hope that have brought premier athletes that played football and soccer and took them to from the small little bitty leagues of being a 7-year-old to 13-year-olds and playing all the way through high school and then going to college and then coming back to the city of Atlanta and becoming an inspiration. We had some stories that's been told to us about that example. And so these Centers of Hope have provided opportunity for youth throughout this region. And bringing into the show, we'll be bringing in Terry Vish, which is the Atlanta district manager for the Starbucks. We'll be bringing her into the show in just a moment, as well as bringing on the Silverbacks, Atlanta Silverbacks soccer team. And one of the things that this collaboration is going to take place is that, and they're going to be talking about this a little bit further into the show, about how the combination of the sports have delivered a community such as this with positive role models that are willing to give back to the efforts in which we have, in which they have themselves been through themselves and lived through. And so we have athletes and teams and business owners giving back and businesses themselves partnering and giving back to the community collectively, allowing this type of platform will have unyielding changes in our communities. And I wanted to commemorate those individuals who have, in fact, stepped up and came to the aid of the community and have done this in a way that they've not asked for anything except for opportunity to be to change lives. And in changing lives, you do tremendous things, and efforts to do that, it takes tremendous people. And we're going to be talking about a tremendous young lady here in the show, Terry Vish, who is from that community that had provided just a passion to make sure that these individuals are served with dignity and integrity and compassion, and have a chance to talk with her as well. We would like to just kind of let everybody know from this point on that Patricia Hunt will be taking over and the show in just a moment. We are really trying to pull in our switchboard, which is having a couple of technical difficulties right now, and I think we'll be fine in just a minute. But that's what happens when positive situations take place. I certainly want to thank Mr. Coleman out of Nashville, which is our director of production and media and editing, as well as giving us an opportunity to do some tremendous things through Blog Talk Radio and being able to relate to the community and provide this type of service. As we move a little bit further into the show, as I go further into how we're going to be going through the show process, we're going to be talking a little bit about opportunities for the individuals that are going to be coming on. And I really want to just say that it's been a tremendous opportunity for me to walk and talk with Buddy Curry from the NFL days of the Atlanta Falcons, who has been doing community support work and has been doing it diligently without any kind of, looking back over his shoulder, looking to ask for anything. This gentleman that we had on the show on Tuesday gave us a great idea of what sustainable models look like, as well as allowing people to come together that want to help, that want to just do things in a community like this. And we want to commend the Kids and Pros, in which he is the co-executive director of that particular organization that gives football clinics. And at the particular event at Pittman Park and Anderson Park, there will be a free NFL clinic that Starbucks will be sponsoring, as well as a free soccer clinic for girls only that that the Atlanta Silverbacks will be using opportunity to work and service the girls in the community ages 7 to 13. And you can go to the kidsandpros.com website and register for that particular event. As we start to bring up the people on online, we want to thank the individuals who have came aboard. We do have want to thank our caller from calling in.
Grandma?
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing, Patricia?
Yes, I just wanted to let you know that I am on the line.
Okay. And then I believe we have a caller from 678-828. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
It's Terry from Starbucks.
Hey, Terry.
Hello.
Great. Yes, yes. Not really sure, but we had a couple problems with our switchboard, so I apologize for bringing you guys in a little bit late. But, Terry, as you know, that we've been talking the last few days, and I think you rock. You know, so and I just wanted to just kind of let everybody know as I sign off on this and allow Ms. Patricia Hunt to move forward in talking with you about what's taking place. Patricia, you can go ahead, please, ma'am.
All right, thank you, Karima, and welcome, Terry Vish. Terry is the regional district manager of Starbucks. She is also the community outreach relations person for that company. Terry, welcome.
Thank you, Patricia.
Listen, I happen just to set the pace here for a moment. I watch a lot of television, and I happen to be watching CNN one day, and I saw your general manager, not general manager, your chief executive officer, Howard Schultz, being interviewed on CNN. I want you to know I was extremely impressed by the philosophy of your company where involvement in the communities they serve is concerned. I was also impressed with their commitment to helping Americans find jobs in America. And I saw that as a company philosophy that your company holds. Tell us a little bit more about Howard Schultz's commitment to helping Americans find work in our country.
You know, Patricia, one of the things that I think that we stand so strong and through this community event that we're doing, it continues to drive home Howard's passion and his ability to reach many people because he creates such inspiration for us in our company with how we're treated, with how we're taken care of, and then it allows us to carry that passion on through our customers and our community. It's relentless. We're accoladed for it. We're rewarded for it. And certainly the Create Jobs for USA partnership has been huge. It has resonated with Americans. It has certainly inspired us as partners that are privileged enough to work in such a company that would take a bold action to recognize that the economy was hurting and that people were hurting and that we could do something to make a difference.
That's incredible. That's beautiful. I wish more companies had that philosophy. Now, Terry, you have a very impressive story yourself. You have a personal commitment to your role as a community outreach relations person. tell me a little bit about what inspired you. What in your life has inspired you in this role?
Well, Patricia, as when my mom was 5 years old, she was contracted polio. It was the epidemic time. It was, I believe, a year before Roosevelt actually contracted polio. And through that disease, she was also in poverty, no medical insurance, no money. And so a friend of a doctor or a friend went to a doctor and asked if my mom could be seen, and he saw my mom and did the test, and, of course, it came back that she had polio. So sent her home because of no insurance and waited 5 days, and mom ended up with the one of the worst cases of polio, which was the paralysis type of polio. So at that point, she entered into a hospital system, and the resources that came with that disease was just amazing in our life. She was able to receive help from the Shriners organization, the local school system, local community citizens pitched in for my mom, and of course, being in poverty, it certainly elevated her lifestyle and the lifestyle of her family members, and it certainly has driven me my whole entire life to recognize that when resources are put in play, no matter how much tragedy or devastation could be in a situation, the person can still have the ability to elevate and come above whatever restrictions or barriers may be there. And so for my mom, her two older sisters that had left the house didn't finish school and didn't have the opportunity, and my mom and her baby sister, my mom's baby sister was able to own her own company, and my mother was actually able to finish Sullivan's Business College as a handicapped person, which, you know, back in the 70s, I was born in 71, so it was probably in the 60s at that point, my mom was able to finish college with a disability before any type of structures were made to even make it easy for her to go. And so it has driven me all my life to pay it forward to some other child that may have the same situation that we could touch just by, you know, getting into the communities that have the need in the impoverished communities to where the talent may never be seen unless somebody goes in and tries to find it.
So your mother was actually a pioneer. Her deficiency actually spurred her to do things that she didn't think she would be able to do. In fact, the world didn't think she would be able to do. The mere fact that she had a child, not one, but two, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Tell us a little bit more about the involvement of Starbucks in this Saturday's event. Now, I know that Starbucks is a major sponsor of Kids and Pros, but Starbucks is playing a role in getting the facility ready to host the facility, I mean Anderson Park, ready to host this event. Tell me more about that.
Sure, Patricia. We have been working closely with the City of Atlanta, Raimundo Davidson, Sebastian, who's one of the operators at Pittman Park, and Raimundo oversees Anderson Park on daily operations. We've been in and out of there procuring donations, working with the City of Atlanta on what we can do to provide, you know, more skilled labor to get a concession stand that could be up and ready to go for the football season. They've got quite a team coming out of the City of Atlanta, a lot of trophies, a lot of number one placements for these kids. And so we have spent 60 days with Kids and Pros really putting a tangible action to our vision. And so when Buddy and I started to work together, we wanted to go straight after the kids that needed the most amount of help that we felt we would have the most impact on. And so working with the city, being able to get into Pittman Park, being able to get into Anderson Park and those recreation centers, and having that partnership. And as I say to people, it's like it's pure synergy when you put a city that wants to do the right thing for the citizens and you put a company that wants to do the right thing for the citizens, and then you have this 501c3 that comes with pure integrity, and it's a perfect plan that has come together that we've been able to just work. Every time we talk to a business, somebody else jumps in with us. It makes me so proud to be in the City of Atlanta and know that we have this type of hospitality and care for kids. And, you know, some of these folks will never meet these kids, but for them to listen to the story, allow my mom's story to be told, to, you know, inspire them to do the right thing, and then to watch it manifest through going down there many days of the week. I feel sorry for Raimundo because we are there almost every other day asking him questions, how do we do this, how do we do that. And the city of Atlanta has just been unbelievably helpful to allow us to see our passion to the complete vision. Buddy and I were just talking about 30 minutes ago, and I said, I never imagined we'd be able to do it exactly like we said we would do it. And we haven't had one hiccup to get anything done the way that we've wanted to make it happen.
And I understand it's no small amount of improvements that you all are doing. Tell us a little bit about specifically what exactly are you doing to improve Anderson Park?
Sure. The facilities are wonderful facilities that the city of Atlanta has provided for these children. And so they are safe havens. As soon as you walk in the door, you can just feel that these kids are taken care of and they're valued. And so at Pittman Park, the one that we want to try, a couple different little things is to just warm up the community room to where it could possibly look like a little mini Starbucks maybe, because that's the way we see things. So we want to give these kids, you know, just that ability to have comfort, a warmth. You know, there's been so much vision that the mayor has put to what he wants to do with these children that we were able to grab onto it because it feels like it all matches up so well, is that we can bring into this. So we'll be doing some, I'm going to say, light painting. It might get a little bit heavier as the day goes on, depending on how fast we can paint. But we certainly are going to do some light painting in the community room. We've delivered furniture. We've delivered appliances. We're going to work in their arts and crafts room. And then our big goal is to give Pam, who is a manager there with the kids, a life skills kitchen where she can teach these kids how to cook and formulate recipes. And she's just been awesome to tell me all of her ideas to go with that kitchen. And so we have outfitted that kitchen for them. And then at Anderson, I think the proudest moment is that we have top talent in these children that play on these fields, and we want to give them a top concession stand that matches what they do out on the field. So we're going to be updating that concession stand and trashing it out with any of the old materials and putting in some new materials, painting the building, working with them on the bleachers. And then ultimately our pride point is that we'll be doing a clinic for the kids that the Atlanta Silverbacks will be volunteering and sponsoring. And then, of course, Kids in Pro will be sponsoring a football clinic for that day. So volunteers that have children between the ages of 5 and 13, they can bring them there so they can still go get their hands dirty and they don't have to worry about child care that day. They can bring those children, again, between 5 and 13 years old, and we will be happy to give them a clinic. And then kids within the community are also encouraged to participate in the clinic. We're going to feed them. We're going to get them some great football and soccer experience. And that's probably mine and Buddy's pride part, that we were able to really involve these children with it too, so they can get to meet us and know that this is going to be a sustainable project for us, that we want to involve ourselves there.
So it sounds to me like it's going to be very pretty and it's going to be comfortable for the young people who come. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. I think you said it better than I did. We want it comfortable.
Very good. That's a beautiful thing. Now, the project, how many kids are likely to be involved? How many volunteers and how many children are likely to be involved on Saturday's event?
Yes, ma'am. We have been blown away. Starbucks actually has a community website. That's community.starbucks.com. And for the first time since I've oversaw the April Global Month of Service, and Starbucks every year during the month of April decides to make that's their service month. We do another one in January in honor of Martin Luther King Day, and that's actually a holiday for us, and we are all encouraged to go service on that day as well. But this is our big month. This is where we really try to come together as a company, and we do it nationwide. And so we're really excited that partners, customers, volunteers can go out to this website at any moment, any time, and register for any of our events. So for the first time, and I've been doing community service for Starbucks for 11 years, so this is the first time that we actually have registered 181 volunteers as of today, and then we have another 80 volunteers through local partnerships, so businesses that we've been able to work with. So right now we're sitting at about 261 volunteers that have committed their time for this day.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
So 200 to 500 children and volunteers, is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And we have about 200 children registered for the clinic. So altogether about 461 people will be down there. And I can tell you, for the Global Month of Service, again, we do it nationwide. It's in everywhere there's a Starbucks, whatever country we're in, we all are challenged to do the same thing. This one has just taken off with such fire and passion. I just think it speaks to the people of Atlanta and in the Southeast that we mean what we say when we're going to take care of our communities, and to see them come together and be so generous. I mean, this has just been 60 days. Buddy and I said the other day, could you imagine if we had 364 days to do this? I don't even know if we could have controlled it at that point.
Fantastic. So this is going to be a service that the community has, that the community is taking on, that is going to be there for Anderson Park for some time into the future. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. We would, you know, our main goal, and I just talked with the City of Atlanta this morning, our main goal is not to do a in-and-out project, a one day in and you go home and you feel great for 24 hours and then you move on to the next thing. You know, when you touch the life of a kid and you can get in there and spend your time with them and let them know your story, you know, my story starts off in tragedy. You know, I had a background where you see violence and you try to figure out, you know, what am I doing, why am I here? And when you can touch a kid that might be going through the same thing, or especially a young woman that, you know, I can tell my story to and say, hey, you know what, you're going to get there. I think that's the end part to the story of what really lets these children know. It's not just about the pain and it looking beautiful and pretty. It's about us helping those children through our stories and through our life experiences that you're going to get through it. I wouldn't tell anybody it's going to be easy, but to me that's a sustainable part. When they can see others that they may not realize might have the same story as them, and you can share it and really get involved in that child's life, for how I feel, that's when you make the difference. And so this is something that Buddy and I are committed to continue. The City of Atlanta, I just spoke with them this morning, you know, they're all for us meeting and figuring out, you know, what's the next step? What's it look like? And I don't want to pretend like we've put all that together. This is grass-rooted. It started this way. It's got great synergy. I think that there's a higher action that's moving all of us together. And I believe that we'll continue the power of this energy for many, many, many years to come with these children. I feel like we have the right group and we have the right hearts in the right places right now.
And what are the ages of the children that are going to be involved in Saturday's festivities?
They do have to be between the age of 5 and 13 years old. And the camps are not contact camps, but they do have to understand direction, and that because the parents will be volunteering, the coaches are there to coach. So we do ask that the children stay between the ages of 5 and 13 years old.
Can parents still, is it too late for them to come in to get their children to come to this event?
Absolutely not. We will take, as Buddy and I said from the beginning, no child will be turned away. If we have to share sandwiches, we will share sandwiches and do whatever we need to do to service whatever children decide to come to this event. If they want to walk over, if they're close to Pittman Park or Anderson Park, come on over and Buddy will put you with a coach and put you in drills. He's a coach at heart. He coaches all the time. So he just walk on up and he'll tell you to do something. I can promise you that. And so tell him to come on, that we'll be happy to have them, you know, come on over. They can register on the community website at Starbucks, which is www.communitystarbucks.com. Or they can also go to the Kids and Pros website, which is www.kidsandpros.com, and you'll see the event is the number one event. I think it's the number one camp on their website.
And
if you can't do that, just show up. Sorry.
I understand that Starbucks as an organization is concerned about the sustainability of this project. We just spoke to that a little bit. And I want to mention, when someone goes out of their way to do something so special and nice for your community as you all are doing on this project, how can the community reinforce your commitment to sustainability? What can the community do to make sure that this project is sustained?
Yes, ma'am. You know, I think the big thing is that whenever you put your hands and your heart into something, you're so passionate that that work not be destroyed or taken apart, are not appreciated to where it's damaged or it gets taken away because of somebody else's act of not understanding or valuing the work that was done. And so because this community has been so welcoming to us, we are so passionate around these children being able to look up from that football field and realize that there's a whole other group of people that support them, that care for them, that value them, that value what they do to go out there and give it all they have. And if you could see these kids' trophies, you would know that they are giving it all that they have. The coaches give it all that they have. And the city of Atlanta is so supportive of these rec leagues. To be able to commit the funds to that is just huge. And so we would just ask that the community be protective of these sites and really work to keep them in the order that the kids deserve. You know, these kids deserve these places to go, and they're so powerful of what they're trying to do for these children. And it's a small kid that doesn't get all the big things in the world. So to take something away from them, they don't even get it. They don't have any type of like, oh, it's okay, take it away, because they're the ones that have to do without. So maybe it wasn't done for others, but, you know, maybe somebody took something away from you, but everybody can make that decision before you take something away from somebody else. Just let it be and let someone else value something that you may never even touch or use, but it means something to somebody else, especially a child.
Yes. This is no small matter because when Anderson Park and Pittman Park were closed down, 5 years ago, because of the city's budget crisis, when it was closed down, those parks were vandalized seriously. What was the main thing that people were trying to steal when they vandalized the facility before?
You know, I'm not for sure on the Pittman Park. I don't have any information with that one. But for what we've seen, and even in the area that I live in, is the salvaging of copper to get in and take copper. And so there isn't anything valuable in these units anymore. Because of, you know, this kind of, it's, I guess, running across many different states. And so that seems to be the main drive, is that if it's got value that you can salvage it, then that seems to be the reason. But not 100% for sure on exactly everything with the condition of the Anderson Park or Pittman.
So are you saying that there's no more copper to be stolen, so there's no
exactly
need for coming around to vandalize? Is that correct?
That's what I'm saying.
That's a disclaimer right there, Terry. we have nothing left for you to steal. I want to take a moment real quick, you guys. I'm going to just take a little commercial break. What we're talking about, and we're with Patricia Hunt as well as Terry Vish, and now we see online we have Mr. Michael Oakey from the Atlanta Silverbacks. We want to welcome him to the show, but we're going to take a moment. This is a special moment for me as I've met with Terry and I've talked with your entire team. This is a song that was produced by a young woman out of California. It's called Hope on the Horizon. I was able to select this out of this because of the fact these centers for hope. So when we come back after this, we'll be bringing on Michael Oakey from the Atlanta.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome sound sculptress Destiny.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to the NCWCC Digital Online Broadcast Network. I'm your executive producer, and we are talking with a wonderful, wonderful group here, as we have our special news reporter, news anchor, Mrs. Patricia Hunt, who is conducting an interview with the Atlanta Silverbacks, Michael Oakey, as well as Starbucks regional manager, district manager, and community relations person from Starbucks, in a very, very strong story about being passionate. That was Dusty Muhammad. I'm going to bring you guys back into the show. We want to thank you guys for just coming into our community and becoming and creating a sustainable model that will, as Patricia Hunt has stated, for years to come. So I want to welcome everybody back to the show, and I'll go ahead and turn this back over to Patricia. And Patricia, you have Michael Oakey on the line as well.
Wonderful. Welcome, Michael. I want to, yes, we want to reiterate what we were talking about when we left. And we were talking about the community, Anderson Park, the work, the improvements that are being made there at Anderson Park will be there for some time to come in the future. We also talked about the need for the community itself to support and to sustain the renovations so that the kids can have these facilities for some time to come. Would you like to say more to that, Terry?
I think you've got it, Patricia. I mean, that's the big thing, that if we can keep them in up, good working order for these children, it allows us to use resources in different ways instead of having to come back through and continue to, you know, refound the same work that was already completed.
I want to also point out that this facility and the facility at Pittman Park, these are considered centers for hope by the mayor of Atlanta, Kareem Reed. And tell us a little bit about the U+2 = Project Hope project that you have going on.
Sure, Patricia. When we started, we wanted to have something because Atlanta was chosen by Starbucks to be a marquee city for this year. And so when Starbucks reached out to me and said, hey, you know, we know you do big events. We're looking to see if we can get the same type of energy for the Global Month of Service event. You know, what do you think? What do you think we can do? And so we started with an idea of trying to bring in, you know, 250 to 500 volunteers, and that obviously requires a lot of energy and a lot of work, and believe it or not, it's tough to find work for 500 people to do, to be able to organize it and get it ready to go, and that there's not a lot of driving. And so we said, okay, if we're going to go after 250 to 500 people, we wanted to challenge our own selves to say, okay, it has to be us, and then we bring two more people, hoping that we would generate some energy through our customer base, because that's, if you go to a Starbucks and you see how our customers interact with our partners, their relationship is so tight into their community. I mean, they really call those Starbucks their own. That's my store. They become very close and very emotional about that store. And so we wanted the managers to drive, and even our regional office staff, we wanted to drive that they bring themselves plus two other people, and then that would actually get us to about 250 to 300 people. And so the U+2 part came, and then at the end of it was Project Hope. And when I first went down to the centers, I could just see the care that the city had and what they want to do with these children to provide a better place, educational elevation, and you could just see it. So the word hope just came to mind. And we were able to use helping others through partner engagement. Of course, most people know at Starbucks, we're all partners because we're all stockholders within our own company. As we were founded, that you always receive shares at the end of the year to be an owner within Starbucks. And so it just came together greatly that way. And that's the project so endearing to us, because it talks about our relationship with our customers, and then it talks about our relationship within ourselves, which is our engagement to what we do as a company.
Fantastic. All right.
I thank you, Terry, for talking with us today, for visiting with us. We've been talking with the Regional District Manager for Starbucks and the Community Outreach Relations person. Thank you so much for giving us your time today. And thank you sincerely. We also have with us another big player in Saturday's event will be the Atlanta Starbucks. We are privileged today to have with us Michael Oakey. Michael Oakey is president and general manager of the Atlanta Silverbacks. We are privileged to have you with us, sir. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Patricia, for allowing the Atlanta Silverbacks to join your program.
Allowing you, my goodness, we are so grateful for your involvement. Tell us a little bit about what the Atlanta Silverbacks are going to be doing. Now, I understand specifically, just as an overview statement, the Atlanta Silverbacks will be coaching girls, young girls, in soccer. There will be 100 girls that we know of that are going to be there to receive coaching from the Atlanta Silverbacks. That is a major thing. Now I want you to establish for us, Michael, what exactly is the involvement of the Atlanta Silverbacks? Now, these Silverbacks, I believe you have 11 to 12 a.m., you're going to have women's players who are going to be coaching the young girls in soccer. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, our involvement is actually going to be helping out not only on the volunteer side, but also with the actual participants in the clinic. As you mentioned, there'll be 100 to 200 girls who will be participating in the clinic from the area and also from the volunteers who are helping out, who have brought their children along. But we'll end up bringing the entire men's professional team out from 11 to 12 o'clock that afternoon. Unfortunately, they have a game tonight and would love to have spent more time out there, but due to the fact that they have that game that night, they have to go and leave and prepare for their game. So we'll have the entire team and coaching staff out from 11 to 12 to take pictures, tell some of the participants some of their life stories, and take photographs, but also we'll have some of the players, coaches, and also at least 10 of our women's players from our women's team, which is a semi-professional team, will also be there actually coaching the clinic and acting as instructors as part of the clinic as well. And they'll be there from 9 o'clock in the morning all the way until 2.
That's very important. I want to establish for our audience, Michael, how important is soccer in Atlanta and the world? How important is soccer play in Atlanta? You know, we have basketball players, we have football players, we have golfers, we have all kinds of sports that are played in America. But how important is soccer, both in America and around the world?
Yeah, to give you a true feeling of the sport and how large it is, you really have to look at an international sense of the sport. And in most countries, soccer is the dominant professional sport in sport, played by just the masses as well, and in most countries throughout the world. In terms of the United States, the sport still has, it's kind of in its infancy, is the way that we like to describe it. On a professional level, it's existed from in multiple leagues, but have never gotten a foothold on the professional side up until about 16 years ago. Major League Soccer started, and they're really starting to see some major booming in terms of the sport's growth on the professional level. There's teams that are averaging attendances over 30,000 spectators, which you just didn't see prior to the last couple years. And it really shows the growth of the sport in the United States. It is the most played sport by youth in the United States currently. And those numbers continue to grow. I think that there's something about 4 million registered youth players in the United States. And that just touches on the actual registered players through local youth organizations that report up to the United States Soccer Federation in some way, shape, or form. So you can imagine how many more people are actually playing the sport in their local communities and parks that might not be registered as well. Of those 3.7 million, 4 million that are registered on the youth side, there's also adults that are playing the sport as well. And it's amazing to see, and one of the great things about the sport is the breakdown of the demographics as well. Of those 4 million kids, about 48% of them are girls, with 52% of them being boys, which I think is a very uncommon thing in most youth sports, where there's actually a 50-50 almost split down the middle in terms of participation.
On the local level,
in the state of Georgia, soccer on the youth level is the most played sport by registered youth in the state of Georgia as well. So you can see that it translates, straight into from the U.S. level down to the state as well.
Now that's more than basketball, more than baseball, even more than football. Is that correct?
That's correct. And like we talk about with the sport being so new to the United States and still being in its infancy stages, the younger populations that are playing this sport are now becoming adults. My parents' generation didn't have much exposure to the sport when they were growing up. They didn't get the chance to participate on a youth level. My generation now is growing older and now has the understanding of what the sport is about, what the rules are, and has some passion for the sport growing up playing it. Now that we're getting older and have spendable income and have the ability to go make decisions on what we're doing for the night, we're starting to see a much larger growth of the sport on the professional level as well.
All right. And this is very big doings for women in America, isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting with soccer, and, we talk about the infancy again, but the sport really has been much more developed in the United States on the women's side, just from the fact that, with Title IX and the requirements of, equal play and dollars being spent on both boys and girls sports, soccer actually became very popular on the women's and the girls' front at a time where, not a lot of girls were being pushed into playing sports. So a lot of the young women were getting involved with soccer at a young age. And so the game actually developed much quicker compared to most countries internationally. So you see a lot of the success that the women's national team has in the United States in international play due to the fact that they kind of got a jump start on a lot of the other countries where, the opportunities weren't available for women to be playing soccer, even though it was the most played sport in their countries. It was a mainly male-dominated sport internationally.
That's very important. That's very interesting. I interviewed earlier this week one of your colleagues, Buddy Curry, who is the executive director of Kids and Pros in Atlanta. And Buddy gave me a statistic about woman involvement in sports in general. And I raised this particular statistic because I want people to realize that this is no small thing that we're talking about. And the statistic is this. 90% of all women executives of major corporations in America had some involvement in sports in elementary school, in junior high school, in high school, and in college. So involvement, female involvement in sports has meant that these women have gone on to be top-level executives in corporations all over America. Now, that is a reason to invest in a young person's sporting ability. Go right ahead, Michael.
Oh, what I was going to reiterate is, it's a staggering fact of 90%. The number is astonishing to me. But at the same time, I understand the reason why. And, we can talk about the fact that, keeping kids off of the streets and getting them involved in team sports and sports in general, where, you know, they're having to keep their grades up in order to continue to play. They're having to make sure that they're staying healthy and making the right lifestyle choices in order to compete at a high level. So with those kind of factors being playing into what type of person plays sports or what sports can do for a person, it at the same time doesn't surprise me that, you know, such a high percentage of those people are involved in sports in some way, shape, or form at a young age.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I want to talk a little bit about the Atlanta Silverbacks' involvement in Atlanta, period. Now, I know you have, everybody knows about the men's professional team, but you also have a women's semi-professional team, and then you have some involvement from other people playing soccer, the leagues, league play. Tell us more about all three of those involvements.
Yeah, the Atlanta Silverbacks organization has been around since 1998 in some way, shape, or form. And it really started off with the men's professional team playing in a league called the USL. And at that time, in 2001, they were looking for some additional owners, and actually Boris Strukanka at the time was looking to start a place and a program for adults to play at because a lot of the field space was being taken up by youth programming in city parks, and they hadn't built enough green space. So at that time, he actually built a complex called Atlanta Silverbacks Park, which opened up in 2004, which has now become one of the epicenters for soccer in the city of Atlanta and the state of Georgia. Once that happened, you know, we started to look at the Silverbacks, and we had a facility that now sees over 800,000 people in a year come through its doors to play the sport or to watch the sport. And we had the professional team on the men's side. But really, we were looking to become kind of a social club or a club that encompassed more people. And at that time, we started to look at things. We looked at the women's semi-professional league as an opportunity to continue to expand kind of the breadth of our participants. So I believe in 2005, we brought the women's team in, which plays in the USLW League. The women's team has been around, and actually last year became national champions and played a final out in Seattle. And they compete in a regionalized format, which then goes into a national format for the championships, but actually ended up winning the 2011 championship. So we actually have the ability to say that one of our teams is national champions, which is a great thing. We also have a reserve team, and then we also have an indoor center as well located in Suwanee, just north of the main city of Atlanta. But as an organization, the Silverbacks encompass much more than just our professional team. We have an ability to allow amateurs and professionals to be a part of our organization, men and women, boys and girls, and really give the opportunity for everybody to enjoy the sport.
Yes, I want you to speak more to the women's semi-professional team. I believe they are national champions right now. You didn't mention that.
Yes, they are. They're national champions, and we ended up traveling out to Seattle to play in a final four against some strong opponents and have the ability to say that we're national champions. It's something that we're really proud of, and one of the things that also started our involvement with the U+2 = Project Hope was the fact that we had this women's organization. So, again, you know, different opportunities open up for the different pieces of our organization, and I think it's really exciting that we have such a wide breadth in our organization that we're able to do that. You know, with football and Buddy and Kids and Pros, they have a great program, but mainly focuses on the boys. We were able to create programs that would help give programming for the girls as well.
Fantastic. And those girls will be privileged to be coached by players from the national championship team. I think that is awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. We're really excited to get the girls out there and get our players out there to show them how some of the skills of the game.
Fantastic. That is awesome. That is absolutely awesome. There are a great deal of health benefits for playing soccer. First of all, it's a very rigorous sport. You do a lot of running out there. Tell us more about what children are getting from being involved in this particular sport.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you talk about the health benefits, obviously, of playing sports in general, but soccer in particular is a very rigorous sport. Like you said, games last 90 minutes long on the professional level and the higher levels. And you don't have substitutions and breaks like you do in most sports. It is a continuous 45-minute half. The clock continues to run. And during that entire time, you're basically moving and running around. So you stay very busy and very active as part of the sport. It's also, you know, we talked a little bit about it, but the benefits of just being a participant in a team that has common goals, I think, really gives the players an opportunity to grow as individuals and learn in an environment where, you know, you're not working at a young age. Well, being a part of a sports team is a lot like work, where you have coworkers that you have to play with while also having your own individual goals that you have to think about as well. It creates kind of an understanding of what needs to be done in order to participate inside of a group and still have and achieve those common goals with each other.
Fantastic. Now, you have, because you incorporate, you have national leagues for, not national leagues, but you have city leagues for men, women, and youth, apart from your professional team. So you get the entire family involved in your league. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, I mean, with the facilities that we have, we operate youth leagues. We also operate adult leagues as well out of both locations. So regular Joes can, and also players who, you know, might have played when they were kids and aren't able to continue to play at such a high level and become professionals themselves. You know, we still enjoy the sport and want to play. So we offer an opportunity for those types of players to get together and still be a part of a team. In an organized environment and compete with other teams. So it's a great opportunity for people to get involved with the sport and continue to stay involved with the sport.
How many people are involved in soccer around the state of Georgia? Can you tell me that?
I know that there's over 100,000 youth registered in the state of Georgia. In terms of the actual participation, that's correct. And that's just the registered youth alone. And I can tell you that, you know, I mean, just out of one of our complexes alone, we operate over 260 adult teams that play out of our complex that we actually oversee the leagues for. On top of that, we have about twice as many renters that are also operating their own leagues and have their own practices and schedules going on that play out of our facility as well. So you can imagine the breadth of people that are playing out of the complex. We see over 800,000 bodies pass through our doors just at one of our complexes alone throughout the year.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Now, this is just the number of children that are involved. You haven't mentioned anything about the number of adults, adult women and adult men that are involved. Is that right?
That's correct. You know, I mean, with those 270 teams that we operate out of that one facility, most of those are adults, but there aren't very great numbers in terms of the adult participation in the state that I'm able to pull from. So I'd be very interested to find out, but don't know the exact numbers there.
Okay, not a problem. I want to go back to the concept that we were talking about earlier. Soccer being the number one sport in many countries around the world. A couple of years ago, the World Cup soccer match was held in South Africa. And I have two grown daughters. And one of them was a medical student at Emory University at the time. She saved her money and paid her own way to go to the World Cup soccer match. My daughter, Roberta, who is now working on her PhD, putting finishing touches, I should say, on her PhD dissertation, and they saved their money. They literally paid their own way. I didn't pay a dime for it. Paid their own way to spend one full month in South Africa for the World Cup soccer match. And I tell that story simply because I want to reiterate how mad people are about soccer when they play. I don't know that I would spend money to go anywhere to stay for a month for any sporting event. But my girls did that, and they are not people of great financial means.
Yeah, you know, it's it goes back to show you how much passion the sport has. You know, it's a great thing that, unlike certain sports in the United States where, you know, we might have the only leagues in existence for that sport in the world, or it's just catching on in other countries, soccer runs the gamut in every country. The World Cup is obviously a wonderful format that showcases the sport, and believe it or not, is one of the largest sporting events in the world every 4 years. So it is an unbelievable experience, and that I still have not yet personally experienced. But it's one of those things where the passion and the excitement and the events that surround it are something that brings so many people together is a great thing. And so many people from so many different walks of life too. It's amazing to see that kind of camaraderie can come around, at a time where teams are still competing on the field. But at the same time, everyone's just having a great time and there for the same reasons, to have fun and watch a sport that they love.
Wonderful. Now, you all have some kind of involvement with Special Olympics Georgia. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've done a partnership with them for at least the past 2 years, where it's part of our campaign as an organization called Think Community. This idea came and evolved out of the fact that we started to look at ourselves and the Silverbacks and saying, you know, what do we stand for as an organization and what are our goals? And out of that came the Think Community campaign, which really at the heart of it is, you know, we want to be involved with our community. You know, we think that there's a little bit of a disconnect that started to happen on the professional sports level with the fans and the communities that support them. So, you know, we have to work off of very different budgets than most large professional sports organizations do and get creative in how we go about, you know, marketing our team and getting fans to our games. So as part of this Think Community campaign, we've reached out to organizations within the communities to find ways that we can partner up with one another that will help allow us to raise funds or draw attention to certain initiatives within the community or different groups within the community. As part of it, community can mean such a different thing to different people. It might mean, you know, the school that you're a part of. It might mean the community that you actually reside or live in, or it could mean that, you know, your actual group of friends is your community. So with that, you know, we talk about getting involved with different organizations, and one of those organizations that we became involved with was with Special Olympics Georgia. It was really great last year where a player that we actually had from Switzerland had a daughter with Down syndrome, and he ended up serving as the grand marshal for the Special Olympics Georgia event last year. And this year we're actually growing it where we're going to have multiple players on our team who will end up acting as grand marshals for that event as well. So through the Think Community campaign, what we've done is partnered with these organizations for actual game days that we have, where donations actually, a portion of the proceeds from the tickets actually get donated back to the organization that we're partnering with. And again, drawing more attention to the Special Olympics as part of the actual day of the event. At halftime, we had a read on our PA announcement system that walked everyone through a campaign that they have that is that we won't use the R word. And it's a pledge that they have, and we read that over our loudspeaker and invited all of our fans to participate in that as well. So, again, you know, just getting some great ideas of ways that we can show people you know, what our community is about, who the people are in our community. It's a great way for us to get involved and go to their events as well and tell people about the Atlanta Silverbacks too. So it's been a great initiative of ours and something that is at the heart of what we do.
Wonderful. Now, you have, the Atlanta Silverbacks have given a special name to your involvement this Saturday. I believe it's called Think Community Campaign. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, it's part of everything that we're doing. It's really a part of our Think Community initiative. And again, this is at the core base of what the Atlanta Silverbacks stand for. So, you know, this is just another example of some of the things that we're doing to get involved with our community, for an opportunity to go down and participate in this clinic and help bring volunteers as well. It's just been a perfect example of some of the things that we're doing with this campaign.
Tell me just a little bit more about the commitment of these ladies that are going to be participating in this event on Saturday, the women who are going to be doing the actual teaching. Tell us a little bit more about their involvement and their commitment to the involvement.
Yeah, you know, our women's team, again, is a semi-professional team. And on our team, actually, none of them are paid to play. Due to the fact of the way that rules and regulations state, you have to make a decision with your team on whether or not you're going to compensate them. And if you do, there's certain restrictions in terms of players who are in college or in high school not being able to play on the team. We use our team really as to develop players as well, to find talent and help foster that talent and get them to higher levels of play. So these girls are taking the time out of their day and really committing themselves to being a part of this event. You know, they all come from different walks of life. Some of them are college students who are playing on the team. Some of them are still in high school who are just high school standouts that have been able to play at such a high level in such an early stage in their development of their soccer career. And others have, you know, 9-to-5 jobs that they're going to, but are taking the time out of their day to come and be a part of this great event. So it just goes to show you, you know, how important it is for our players, for our organization to be involved in these types of things and be involved in our community.
All right. Listen,
hey, Patricia,
I thank you. Yes, go right ahead.
Hey, this is Terry. I've been listening, and I want to just highlight some things that the Atlanta Silverbacks were able to do with us, because I think it's important. When we started this, Michael and I met at Mill Creek Village Starbucks, that's up here in Buford, and for him to speak to the community, I just want to make sure that folks that do listen and understand what the Silverbacks stand for. Michael made a personal commitment that he donated the refrigerator that's actually going into Pittman Park on Saturday from his own personal donation. But, and Michael, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I didn't even get out exactly what we were doing, and Michael said yes. And so when Buddy and I walked away, Buddy said, "You think he's really in?" And I said, "I think he said yes." And if you could have heard how unorganized we were with the first time that Buddy and I started to speak to it. And I just want to make sure that I highlight, as somebody that comes from a very confounded company around community, to watch the Silverbacks step up. They didn't we didn't have the why behind it yet. We just knew we had this vision. And, Michael, I want to call out that was huge to walk in. You gave us the confidence to keep going and to keep asking. And so I just wanted to make sure that I said on Starbucks' behalf, and certainly for Buddy, your group stepping up like you did without having all the information to just say yes to go down and help a group of kids. I don't even know if we even gave you the right address the first time we spoke.
I appreciate Terry. And I think you underplay it how great you guys are and, you know, the coordination that you guys had in this event. But, you know, it just goes back to, again, you know, what's the core of the Silverbacks and what we stand for. And again, you know, me personally and the way that I was brought up, you know, community involvement was such a big part of my life. And I think that a lot of that goes back to, you know, my involvement in sports as a child as well. You know, I played in every sport under the sun and continued to play all the way through college, but was always told that in order to continue my sports, I needed to be able to make sure that I was doing the right things in the classroom as well. So, you know, it made me made me work harder in the classroom to know that by doing well there, I can continue to do my sports activities too.
Yes.
This is Kareem. I'd like to chime in on that, on just the whole ideal of just, and I'm a Starbucksie. I'm a professional coffee drinker. I think I start my store is the store that Terry started off at. That's my office there on La Vista Road. So I'm a Starbucks. I'm a gold card member. I'm very proud of my reward points at the, you know, and I look forward to looking in the mailbox for my points to get my free coffee or my free show. But I will say this much: when I saw it, and I actually was sitting there, I became excited. And Michael, I know exactly what you're talking about, because once you hear just a second that there's something that's going on in a community that we all know that, you know, just we know that the need is there. You just want to jump up and jump in. I certainly understand. I didn't even know the address. I was like, so where am I going? So I didn't even know their address. I was just like, let me come. I'm just ready. So I understand, Michael. You know, we grew up, my parents, we were on the show with Buddy, and we grew up in sports, and we grew up in a community type of thing where we were always, you know, told to give back, in a sense, and then also, you know, just make good grades. And that really shaped me to be an executive in the family's company these years, you know. And so I just, you know, I think Starbucks should really be commended, and the Silverbacks should be just praised by just, I don't know how y'all going to do it. I'm sorry. I was going to give a little humor to it. But you said 5-year-old girls to 13? Okay. And the 8-year-olds are going to be the reason why your semi-pro team might disband. No, they probably won't even have children after that experience. I'm just saying, put it out there. You know, I commend you all. I mean, I don't know what you're going to, I mean, those ladies to come out knowing that they're about to meet, like, you know, their mini-me's of life. You know, some of these girls are going to be traumatized because they're going to look down and say, that used to be me. You know, so I just, the girl situation is tremendous for the NCWCC, you know, as far as women of color in construction. So when we look at that as a non-traditional situation in sports that you guys are just taking on, and to give, Michael, to give women an opportunity for a platform that they've never had. And one thing we discussed earlier is that this whole platform is only 16 years old, and look how
that's on a professional level for Major League Soccer too. I mean, our organization, to be realistic, I mean, it existed starting in 1998, but we took a 2-year hiatus where the only thing that we were doing from 2009 and 2010 was operating our facilities, and our women's team was playing. Our professional team actually ceased operations for 2 years. So we're just starting to get all this rolled back up and starting to get out there back into the community. And that's where, again, you know, you guys keep talking about this, but, you know, if there's other people in the community, I would empower them to say, reach out to us as the Atlanta Silverbacks and let us know how we can get involved with your organizations, you know, with the people that you guys are coming in contact with, because we're looking to get out into the community as much as possible.
But you're already there. You sit on the board. You sit on the board of several DeKalb and out. You know, you've met with Clarkston. So you guys, this is not something just new that you're jumping aboard. You've done the groundwork to make yourselves visible to just all of the southeastern states as well, Tennessee, Alabama. So it's not just the Georgia professional team doing work within just the Georgia region, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, as a soccer, professional soccer team, there aren't a whole lot throughout the country yet, you know. There's 19 in Major League Soccer, and in the North American Soccer League, which is Division II, there are only 8 teams that currently exist right now. So, you know, the United States is such a large geographic country compared to most countries that, and for example, in England, I mean, you have multiple teams in one city. That doesn't exist here in the United States, where, you know, some teams in our league actually are all the way in Puerto Rico or Edmonton, Canada, You can imagine how far stretched between different teams there is. So, we as an organization do get the benefit of being one of the few teams in the Southeast. So the closest place for a lot of people in Alabama and Tennessee to get to a professional soccer game is by coming to Atlanta to watch the Atlanta Silverbacks play. So it is great from that perspective. But as an organization, we're getting out there. We've done a lot of these meetings as part of our Think Community initiatives. We put a campaign in called 900 Meetings in 90 Days. And really that's where I met Terry first. Maybe she doesn't know it, but through this initiative, we as an organization set out to do 900 business development meetings in a 90-day period. And there were about three or four of us that were working on this. So if you break down the numbers, we were going on between 5 and 8 business development meetings on a daily basis to talk to people in the community, whether they be businesses, whether they be government organizations, or even individuals who just might be interested in the sport of soccer and learning more about the sport of soccer. So we stayed very busy for a period of time and continue to do that. In order to get out into that community and learn about the partnerships that we might be able to create as we continue to expand. So, we're nowhere near done yet, but we're continuing to look for more people to get involved with the organization, to learn more about the organization, and that's why I really put out that call to action for people to continue to see about how the Atlanta Silverbacks can get involved. And it's been great to tell you a little bit more about how projects like this and, Starbucks' involvement in this, how great it is that it actually brings so much more together. Out of this, the Atlanta Silverbacks met Kids and Pros as well. We had never met each other. We've met the City of Atlanta officials and the Atlanta Parks and Rec officials. And now Atlanta Parks and Rec are looking at, how do we put more soccer programming into the Atlanta City Parks and Recs Department, because they don't have soccer currently. They do basketball, they do football, but they don't have soccer programming. So, we're starting to have discussions now about how the Atlanta Silverbacks can help the City of Atlanta potentially provide more soccer programming throughout their facilities. And then through that, we've also brought in other organizations like Soccer in the Streets and the Boys and Girls Club of Metro Atlanta to be involved with all this as well, in terms of, all right, well, if Atlanta is looking to expand their soccer programming, there's these other organizations out there that are looking to do the same things that will be able to help as well. So, it just starts with one little thing and turns into, multiple people and organizations getting involved, and that's how additional communities get created. So it's been great to see that development.
All right. Okay. Well, Karima, if it's all right with you, I'm going to wrap this up right now. Is that all right?
Oh, absolutely. I have to make sure that everybody got an opportunity to put their website on how to just keep in contact with both Terry and Michael, if you guys don't mind. How would anyone register, Michael, with what you're doing? And then, Terry, how would anybody else register with what's going on and what's taking place, even past the April 28th meeting?
Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, with the Atlanta Silverbacks, you can always visit our website at www.atlantasilverbacks.com. But also, like I said, if you're looking to reach out and look at programming that we're doing and would like to talk more, I give out my personal email address. It's michael.oki@atlantasilverbacks.com. And I always tell fans and people, feel free to reach out to me, whether it be just to talk about the sport or to talk about opportunities. We're always here to listen and see what we can do. So I just want to say thank you very much to all of you for allowing us to be a part of everything and allowing us to be a part of the show.
Thank you, Michael.
So,
Terry, tell us a little bit more about how we can reach you.
Sure. You can all, obviously www.starbucks.com has a lot of our national information. Locally, you can also reach out to me, which is tvish@starbucks.com, and it's T as in Tom, V as in Victor, ish@starbucks.com. We also have our community website, which is community.starbucks.com. And I just wanted to reaffirm what Mike just said about being able to contact him personally for anyone that's interested Because when you have organizations within your city that are willing to so freely help, I hope anyone that has any idea actually uses both of us to try to connect the dots for you, because it certainly, again, Michael, I mean, when we came to you, Buddy actually went to the wrong store. I can't even tell you the parody of errors that we had on the day of the event to speak to Michael. And so you really made it easy for us to have the confidence to blow forward through other companies because you were so open to that. And so I hope the community of Atlanta really understands the impact that you helped us with in an emotional way to say, you know what, I get it, you don't have it all together, but your thought process is good, and we're going to take a chance on you guys. And so we really appreciated that opportunity. And so my email's always open. Michael's offered his, but any questions are always worth a little bit of an investigation to figure out what we can do to help these kids.
I'm sorry, but I got one more thing left to say about the Pittman little Starbucks. Now, can grown people attend after you guys put the big old flat screen in? And then
I know.
Starbucks.
I know. I told my boss the other day, I said, listen, if you can't find me sometimes, I could be down at Pittman on a 106-inch screen TV watching television. So I'm just saying I'm going to log in under community service hours, but I might be watching television when I'm down there. So.
Oh, my goodness. But we really certainly want to appreciate the opportunity to actually watch TV down there. And I think it's just going to be a wonderful thing to watch the little baby Starbuckies come in with the little cups. I think that is just inspirational for me to see, since I am, again, a gold card member as well, because there's one place to find me. And, guys, Patricia, we have Patricia Hunt with us, who is, an Emmy-nominated reporter and news anchor here in an Atlanta favorite in the 80s and 90s, and her voice is back with the NCWCC Digital Online as part of the family, and just being able to allow us an opportunity just to be able to just have this impact to the people who actually listen in to our shows, and just kind of develop these types of relationships, and I think you guys should be commended, and Kids and Pro Buddy Curry is a big tall redhead sweetheart. And his passion is so much. The coach is just a great down-to-earth guy. And, you know, we just really want to thank you all. And Patricia, we want to thank her for just every time. And I'm like you, Terry. I'm always the type of person that says, this is a great idea. What do you think? I just got this together, and I want to thank everybody for coming aboard and putting in the work, you know, in a short, quick response time. But put this show together as well. And I just want to thank you guys on behalf of the parent company, which is the National Coalition of Women of Color Construction, that is part of the NCWCC Broadcast Network, for just coming in into the communities that you have, that you serve, and creating a sustainable model, which is very, very dear to my heart, and it's dear to Patricia's heart, and as well as everybody else in our listening community.
Thank you, Karima.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you as well.
We're going to close out with Destiny Muhammad. And I want to just let everybody know the artists that you hear are all recording artists. Some of them are Grammy-nominated or Grammy Award-winning artists and have independent label. And this song means so much to me from Destiny Muhammad. I played it earlier. We're just going to close out with this. This is Hope on the Horizon, bringing hope to a community that needs hope. And I just thought this was a great song that we have that's a part of our theme song with the NCWC. So I want to thank you all, and God bless. And I will see you with my paint brush in hand, Terry, on Saturday.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome sound sculptress Destiny.
Thank you. Yes.